I got my peaches out in Georgia. Oh yeah. I get my from California. That's that. I took my chick up to the north, yeah.
Good morning, Ottawa. This is the Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA.
I took my chick up to the north, yeah. I get my light right from the source, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
6:06. Good morning. How are you this morning? Wednesday, we're already at the hump. Not the Highway 7 hump. It's not that big a hump. It's a much smaller hump than the Highway 7 hump. Man, we got response to that yesterday, didn't we?
Whew. Yeah.
So many texts. People can't believe it's been there that long and that the Ministry of Transportation doesn't seem to know what the problem is. Everyone thinks they know what the problem is.
They all say it's that culvert. Even yeah. CTV went to the local garage and they're like, yeah, we get people in here all the time.
What kind of damage?
It basically, I just shocks and struts and tire damage and... but I just thought it was interesting, right? The government's like, yeah, we don't really know what the problem is. And everybody we talk to, everyone they talk to, the local car shop, they're all like, yeah, it's that culvert.
Probably does a lot of damage to suspensions. Anything under the car that could hit like mufflers probably get damaged and dented. I don't think you could blow a tire there. I don't think it's that kind of bump, but yeah. Probably dentists are busy putting fillings back in.
Yeah.
Now, here's the craziest headline of the day to me. Cross-border trucker vaccine mandate among COVID-19 rules still in place. Well, of course. But it's for domestic... They've changed the rule. You no longer have to show you're vaccinated for domestic travel and outgoing. We really give a damn about the rest of the world, right? You can't bring your COVID here. We're going to test you and you better be vaccinated. But you can take it with you. That's fine. You can travel. Okay. That's a little uneven. But why are people surprised the trucker vaccine mandate is still in place? They can leave without a vaccine, but there's not much point because they can't get back. That was always the case. So, I don't know, the headline screamed like it's news, but to me it wasn't. But it also wasn't surprising. It should have been lifted as well. But so should the vaccine for people coming back into the country, the vaccine mandate. COVID-19 is everywhere. Why are we worried about the borders right now? I mean, I was really thinking about this yesterday. It really got onto my nerves. Brian Lilly wrote a great piece. He came up with a new phrase. Let's see if I can remember it now. Sun Media, Brian. You know Brian from our show every week and sometimes more. What did he call it now? Trudeau makes his decision based on political science. And it just, that nails it. It's political science. Because scientifically, it doesn't make much sense to say you can travel from Vancouver to Ottawa without a vaccine. That's safe, which is in effect what they're saying, right? Well, you don't really need a vaccine or it doesn't change much. You can travel from Vancouver to Ottawa without a vaccine, but you can't drive up from Ogdensburg to Manitic without it. That, please explain the difference to me because I am not understanding. It's actually more likely, I would think, that it's more likely you could bring some brand new, as yet unrecognized, unnamed variant from British Columbia to Ontario than you would from upstate New York to Ontario. Right? We're more likely to have the same version right on the border with each other than you are bringing it all the way from the West Coast. In fact, Ontario already has its own sub-variant. Doesn't seem to have taken off. We picked it in the draft, but it doesn't look like it's going to make the big leagues anytime soon. But we have our own variant. But you can take that variant now and spread it all across the country, and that's okay? And the answer is, well, it's going to spread anyway. That's why, because vaccines don't stop that. They just don't. Not to a degree worth all the hassle and the political interplay with it. But they still like the politics of the truckers. They still give Pierre Poilievre something to be mad about because they think that He's unelectable. You'll become the leader and they could beat him. They like that. So they want to keep this issue alive for all the wrong reasons. You can fly from Vancouver to Ottawa without a vaccine, but you can't bring all the stuff that's short right now. You can't bring in groceries and spare parts and parts for the auto. You can't do that without a vaccine. But you can, you and your whole family can get on a plane and fly from British Columbia to Ontario. And it doesn't matter. It does not add up. The Transport Minister, Omar Al-Agbara, says the federal government will suspend vaccine mandates for domestic and outbound international travelers later this month.
On June 20th, our government will suspend the requirement to be vaccinated in order to board a plane or train in Canada. Employers in the federally regulated transportation sector will also no longer need to have vaccination requirement for their employees.
That's a big deal, too, here in Ottawa, especially where a lot of federal employees. That kind of got lost. Not on Matt. He sent me like 87 versions. You were very excited about this yesterday.
I was all in on that, yeah.
You're all in on that. So if you're a federal worker and you couldn't work from home because you weren't vaccinated, think that one through for a minute. This is having a big impact at the airports and other places, right, where employees who are not vaccinated can't come to work. Yeah. And they got staff shortages, so they've lifted that as well. But it's not going to mean a big return to workers downtown anytime soon. It's not going to do that. But you can now work from your basement without a vaccine if you work for the federal government.
We lost our minds during this, didn't we?
We completely lost.
Just lost the plot.
And everybody was saying they were making their decisions based on science. What's the science of you get suspended if you're not vaccinated working from your own basement? What was the science there? I understood there was a time when that actually made sense when you were coming into work. Mm-hmm. So you're a member of the RCMP. You don't want to get vaccinated. Well, you can't come into work because you're going to be interacting with other people. No, you can't do that. And then the vaccines were no longer effective because the virus changed. That stopped making sense months ago. And they finally caught up with it because in the meantime, it was the Pierre Poilievre policy. We'll just keep that as like raw meat they keep dangling in front of Pierre Poilievre. So that seemed to be their sole intention. Let's flush out the people in the Conservative Party and who show their support for the truckers, who, by the way, were right on that one narrow issue. By the time they got to Ottawa, there shouldn't have been vaccine mandates for truckers. And that's months ago, and we still have them in place. It didn't make sense then. It didn't make sense now. It doesn't make sense now. I mean, they were poor spokespeople for that point of view because they're like, we never needed vaccines and vaccines are going to kill you and there's a conspiracy. And oh, no, just stop. Stick to the narrow issue of the vaccines make a difference right now at this point in the pandemic and I'll be on your side. They didn't then. They don't now.
No, they take even today. They're like, see, we told you these were never necessary. Okay, yeah, calm down. No. That's not what we said.
So you were wrong in the beginning, you were right in the middle, and you're right now, but you were still wrong in the beginning, but because things have changed. But you know what surprised me? When they announced yesterday they were lifting the vaccine mandates for traveling, they didn't lift the mask mandate at the same time.
Yeah, and you still need the ArriveCan app.
How does that work? Shouldn't you be able to travel on a train now without a mask? I would absolutely get on a train without a mask. Oh. There was a photograph of someone in the media this week as Ontario was lifting the vaccine mandates. And they quoted this woman saying, you know, she's upset. We're taking the masks off too soon. How did she put it? This piece of cloth has kept me safe up until now. I'm not getting rid of it. Okay. Number one. And I saw people because I took Sylvie to the train station yesterday wearing cloth masks. You're going to be on a train for 5 hours. It's via, probably six. It's going to run late. You're going to wear the cloth mask. It's not the right mask.
No.
With Omicron, we've known for how many months now? Can you remember? It's like half a year that you need a medical mask. Cloth mask doesn't work. So this woman is outside wearing a cloth mask. Her mouth is covered in, not her nose. But this is the one thing that's kept her safe up until now. And Doug Ford is a crazy person for ending the vaccine the mask mandates. What? What are you talking about? You are doing nothing to protect yourself or anyone else right now. Maybe other people a little because you're the spit. But we know it's small and it's in the air and it goes right through these cloth masks. And she's lecturing the chief medical officer of health in Ontario about the science of it. Outdoors, cloth mask, nose uncovered. This is the thing that's keeping her safe. This is a crazy person. I was really looking forward to our annual trip to the Andy Kim Christmas show on Via Rail without masks, Matt. Although, yeah. Did they lift your ban? Are you allowed back?
Well, I took a Via train a couple weeks ago, and the mask was just annoying. So, but point of the story, I think I'm allowed back. Or they just didn't recognize me.
Charles Bordelo just sent me a note because you almost got us banned along with you.
Oh, yeah. I took you guys down with me?
What's that?
I took you both down with me?
Well, he just said he's surprised you're not on the banned list.
Yeah.
Me too.
You guys
Here's what happened. The train got delayed as it always does.
Yeah.
Because another train was broken down. We had to tow the other train. Remember that?
I do.
So I went to get you in economy to just come and chat for a while, and we were too loud, apparently.
Yeah, they're like, sir, you need to go back to your seat.
Remember how she wagged her finger at us, too?
Don't you?
You've got to keep this quiet. I think the tone you're looking for here is, we're really sorry about this two-hour delay.
That's the thing. I just want to see my
friends. In a drive you could have made in 2 hours.
I could have drove there and back in the same time that it took to get there.
And they're lecturing us about talking too loud.
Go back to your seat. We'll give you a $20 credit. Thanks.
She did let us stay, though. You just had to be quieter.
Then I got
6:18, the morning rush. Beautiful mistake.
You're listening to The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA.
I know when you woke up this morning, your first thought on your mind, as it was mine, is the 2030 Olympics, Winter Olympics.
It's been top of mind since 20.
Where are they going to be? 16. I've been just dying to find out. So it wasn't top of mind. But it will be now because a bid to host the 2030 Olympics in Vancouver and Whistler is now proposing freestyle ski and snowboard events be held at a resort near Kamloops. They brought Kamloops into the loop. They Kamlooped it in. Is this something we want or care about anymore?
I love Canadian Olympics. I'm all for this.
Me too, but you know what's going to happen? Going to get all excited that the NHL will send players and then it won't happen. Although it was kind of unusual this time that at least the NHL was willing to send players to the Olympics, and then COVID happened and they just couldn't fit into the schedule anymore. Too many makeup games. Maybe. I got to say, though, I would not have told you this 10 years ago, but I'm much more excited now about the Winter Olympics than the Summer Olympics.
Are you? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I might actually, because it used to be a bucket list item for me, like one day I want to go to the Olympics. And I always imagined that to be the Summer Olympics.
Which are in somewhere. Los Angeles sometime soonish.
Yeah. Well, that would still could be okay. But, you know, now you know that it's traffic craziness. Some country or another won't be allowed to go because of politics. There'll be scandals on doping. And I know it's lost a little bit of its luster. But Tim Gata is part of the bid feasibility team in Vancouver. He says Sun Peaks ticks a lot of boxes when they're looking for a venue.
Great field to play. North-facing slope. Available for early season, late season training, and a great spot in terms of a feel for the games, but a great spot to host future World Cups and training for the national teams and athlete development.
His view on the north-facing slope is exactly opposite to mine. I don't ski much, but I like it if it's plus 10 and sunny.
Gotcha.
And on the south-facing slope. I never want to be on the north-facing slope, ever.
So I never skied as a kid, and now I'm worried if I try it, I'll break every bone in my body.
You will.
Do you have advice?
You'll break.
It's just going
to
be
on the north-facing slope, because it tends to be very icy.
Yeah, so it's going to be as bad as I expect. You're not helping me here.
No, I think at your age, you're still going to be okay.
All right.
My age, maybe it's starting to get a little tricky.
It's the one thing that really freaks me out. Like, I'm not usually nervous or scared to try things. Skiing, I don't know what it is.
I tried the first time as like a 19-year-old, maybe. So, and I've skied only half a dozen times since then. I thought I was okay, but the last time, this is how long it's been, last time I skied, my son, Killian, was about 4. And I got a little out of control and tumbled down half the hill, ended up in a big pile of snow. And my 4-year-old son skied towards me, made the quick stop, pshht, and sprayed me with snow while laughing his butt off.
Nice.
It was too humiliating. But yeah, the north, we would go to Mont Saint-Anne in Quebec, and that north-facing slope,
yeah,
it was deadly. No thank you. But I guess athletes want that. Right?
Yeah.
You want the good conditions. You want the better chance that it's going to be cold and snowy, and you can make snow and it'll stay and all those
things. If I learn this winter, I've got 8 years to prepare for the Olympics, you're saying.
Oh, you want to make the team?
Well, I don't know. Dream high.
That might be pushing it a bit. It's 6:30. Karen Gordon will try to rescue the reputation of Connor McDavid.
Whoa, good luck.
Is it even in trouble? How much trouble do you think he's in with his reputation?
With his girlfriend, maybe. His reputation? I don't know.
It'd be interesting to see. I haven't heard any sponsors pull out yet, have you?
No.
So far, he's hanging in there. There's some weird excuses going around, too. Anyway, we'll talk to her about that coming up, The Morning Rush.
Everyone has a reputation to defend. That's why on Wednesdays, we bring you The Reputation Rescue with Karen Gordon and Bill Carroll.
Connor McDavid is all over social media right now. Some video surfaced of him holding the hands of a young woman who is not his girlfriend. I know his girlfriend lives with him only because I saw some, I don't know, architectural design feature video with the two of them. And I like that stuff. Don't judge me. So I thought it was pretty cool. Anyway, they seem like a nice couple, but his reputation is taking a little bit of a beating. How big a beating do you think, Karen Gordon?
This is a really interesting one that we've been watching for a couple of days, you, Matt, and I. There's a couple of interesting features to this. So the video, when you look at it, looks very current, and it's 2 days ago, and it's not his girlfriend. And the piece you're referring to is there was a big feature on the pair of them in Architectural Digest. There was a story in the New York Post about a month ago about his girlfriend. So we're kind of getting to know who his girlfriend is and what she looks like, and this is clearly not his girlfriend.
No, definitely not.
No. Twitter went crazy. Hockey Twitter just blew up over this. But interestingly, it doesn't seem to be getting much pickup from credible traditional sports media. And it's been a couple days, and now we're starting to see within social media some rumblings of, oh, it was an old video. Oh, it was, well, if it was an old video, don't you think McDavid's camp might have come out and said, that video is from 2019. That video is from. So it's really interesting. The lack of mainstream pickup, number one, is interesting. And then now this discussion in and around the authenticity of the timeline of the tape.
I'll give you an example of what the debate on social media. Someone named Kristen said, old video. As you can see, Nurse, who's another hockey player, has no tattoos on his right arm. And if you go to his Instagram account, you'll see his right arm is covered in tattoos. Now everyone can just shut up. No one even knows the context behind the video. Morons. Somebody else, JC, this is old. Looks like he's only about 19 in this. Besides, until there's a ring on Lauren's finger, it's not cheating. Well, I think his girlfriend will have to decide what's cheating and what's not cheating. It's not a sex tape. I mean, it's flirtatious. They're holding hands. I don't know that I care. If I'm his skate sponsor or something, I don't think I'm going to walk away based on this. And it's not a good look. He's a little tipsy drunk. And if he really is, if it's a recent video, it doesn't look great. But it seems like they've done the Karen Gordon thing. They've pretty much shut up. And they're hoping it just plays out and doesn't become a bigger story. You think so far that's working for them?
I think so, because let's look at the product that we're dealing with. So this is the elite of the elite of the elite of sports. He was first, if rumors are correct, when he played in York Simcoe, he was first looked at when he was 8 years old. He was one of the exceptional players when he went into the OHL. I mean, this is a guy who his entire life has been trained. In his entire life, he's been a center of attention at all levels. And I think, you know, if the video is authentic and if the video is now, it was a stupid mistake on his part because all eyes are on him. You can't think you're Connor McDavid and can go into a bar. Some speculate it's here in Toronto. No one really knows the location. It's a dumb mistake in a career that has been exceptionally good in and around the public relations. So that's the other interesting part of this is for, you know, 20 years since he was a kid playing minor hockey, he's been, you know, spot on. I remember once I went to his last game as an Erie Otter, and it was in Oshawa, and I have seats right behind the penalty box. And I said to my kids, maybe McDavid will get a penalty. It's his last game in the NHL. My kids, of course, laughed at me. McDavid didn't get a penalty. Well, he did get a penalty, and these drunk Oshawa hockey dads were chirping him with the funniest chirps you've ever heard. And you could see he's in the box, and you could see his shoulders moving because he was laughing, but he didn't engage, and he didn't look around. That's someone who's exceptionally well-trained and understands the importance of the eyes always being on you. So this video, if it is new, would be a misstep of one of his first.
Yeah, you know, but I just get all caught up in and want to, now that it's a conspiracy theory, I want to prove or disprove. Here's the problem with that nurse has no tattoos on his right arm. I'm looking at a still shot from the video. I can see the young woman with the pink shirt. I see McDavid. And blocking the view a little bit is the hockey player everyone says is nurse. And he does have two tattoos on his right arm in this.
So.
Right, people. Does she know the difference between right and left? You can't even tell which hockey player that is. But that's the one there that she's referring to, obviously, because there's no one else in the shot. And he does have two tattoos on his right arm. Here's part of the problem is if you don't jump on it, if it really is old, you let the conspiracy theories and the fun of people trying to be sleuths, you let it play out, and that makes it drag out too long. I think you're right, Karen. I think your gut is right on here. If this was old, they would have said that right away. It's authentic, and they're shutting up, hoping the rest of the mainstream sports media won't touch it because they know that sports journalism is all about access. So if you're the guy who reports that Austin Matthews has COVID before people wanted to talk about that, you are going to have trouble accessing Austin Matthews in the future. That's something that actually happened in Toronto. So I think they're kind of counting on that, don't you?
I do. I think if this video was old, we would have seen on Sportsnet or on TSN one of the hockey guys say, come on, that video's from 2019. What I also think, I agree with you 100%, this is not a sponsor losing video. It doesn't even get near that level of seriousness. He's 25. He's been, you know, whether or not he's drinking, who knows? This isn't something to me that kicks your moral clause in any one of your contracts.
At least he didn't call his sister sexy.
Yes, which is our other interesting hockey story of the day. Sammy Blay commented, who's a player for the New York Rangers, commented on his sister's Instagram and called her a sexy babe, I think was the exact line that he used, which I have since learned, and you and Matt are both married to women from Quebec, is a thing you say in Quebec. It isn't as big a deal as Twitter would have
you
believe.
Well, Matt went to Marie's and said, can you believe he called his sister sexy? She was like, what's wrong with that? So I said, oh, come on. So I went straight to Sylvie and I told her the story. She's like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
It so just means you look sexy. She said it'd be no different than in saying you look hot. Well, I have a problem with that too. She said, oh, you English, you're so uptight.
Well, this has been, because Twitter went crazy on this. Oh, my God, why did Sammy Blake call his sister sexy? And then all of a sudden, you have people weighing in from Quebec, where he's from, saying, come on, that's what we do. Don't be the person who's going to judge our terms of infection. So that one turns out to be just a little funny. And I think actually,
when you call someone sexy, it's because you looked at them and thought, wow, I'm turned on. That's sexy. I think in 2022, it'd be tough to say that about almost anyone you're not dating, let alone.
You're so uptight. Sylvie's right. You're so uptight. I think this does more for Sammy Blay's reputation. Who knew who he was before?
Come on. Tell your sister she looks beautiful, not sexy. Calling your mom sexy.
No. Wrong. All right, this is going somewhere bad.
But I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't pull an endorsement from him. I'm not, it's not the end of the world. I just thought it was cute and funny. And it's a little cultural difference, I guess. Who are we to judge, eh? You look vraiment sexy. Karen Gordon, thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Tell me straight, Doc. What is it?
Medical myth busting with Dr. Barry Dworkin.
Good morning, Doc.
Morning, Bill.
You're on the phone today? A little technical problem?
Yeah, technical problem with a USB, so.
Oh, I know you now because you're a tech geek. That thing's going to be in 100 pieces within 20 minutes. You'll fix that right up.
Yeah.
Diagnosing it, writing a prescription for it. Oh, you'll get it done. I'm not even worried. Okay, here's our headline today. A one-time treatment for HIV could be on the horizon.
Yeah,
what is
this?
Is actually, this true?
Yes, it looks very intriguing. It's what they did. This is a research facility in Israel. One of the issues is being able to develop a means of attacking HIV or have an antibody that attacks it. And it tends to evade that in your body. It doesn't really, that's why it's so difficult to get rid of. You have medications now that will suppress the virus and prevent it from reproducing and reducing what we call the viral load. And we all know what viral load is now. It's just the number of viral particles in your body.
Sadly,
and the
less, we do, yeah.
Yeah, and so it maintains it at a very low level so that you are not contagious anymore, and it's treated as a chronic disease as opposed to a terminal disease, and that's really important. But in this case they're saying, well, instead of trying to suppress the virus, why don't we train the immune system to produce antibodies that recognize the virus and attack it and get rid of it? And the way they have approached this, they used two different types of approaches. One was in the lab, so in vitro in a test tube, and the other was moved to an animal model. In this case, it was mice. And what they designed is two different types of viruses, the same viruses that we use in vaccines, adenoviruses, to bring in genetic material into the system, in this case, into the mouse, one of which... the two viruses, one carries an editing piece of material. That is something that can take a chunk out of the DNA of the particular cell and replace it with the chunk that you need that gives the instructions to tell the cell to make antibodies against HIV. The editing thing is called CRISPR. And it's like taking, if you're doing a word processor and just typing stuff out and you make an error and there's one letter that's wrong in that word, you go back, you take that letter out, or you've misspelled it, you take that letter out and you put another letter in that changes the whole meaning of the word. Well, that's the same thing that this does with the DNA. It takes out a particular sequence or a letter in that sequence, puts in another letter, which it gets from the other virus that's carrying the material. So it's like you have two trucks. One truck is preparing things. The second truck has the material that's offloaded and put into the area that you've just changed. And they found that in all the animal models that they used, first it worked in vitro, so that was good. Then they moved to the animal model, and they genetically engineered the B cells, which are what produce antibodies. And in so doing, they found that they were successful in every animal model they used in order to produce the antibodies that would attack and destroy the HIV. So that's very encouraging. Now, whether this applies to people is another matter. And also, you still have to go through the safety assessments and make sure that, in this case, you are genetically engineering the DNA in a particular cell, unlike the vaccines that we have, which don't touch the DNA. And so in this case, you want to make sure that CRISPR, in this case, is not going to affect anything else in the body. So there's still pretty much a long way to go, but it's just very innovative and quite clever in terms of how they're approaching this particular problem.
Could it be used as a vaccine, or is it just a treatment?
I think it's a treatment. It's not necessarily a vaccine per se, although that is an intriguing question, right? Because if you train the B cells against HIV, is it going to, you know, it'll continue making these antibodies? Will it be available in the event you unfortunately contract the virus? So great question. Not knowable right now. This is more of a proof of concept in an animal model. And
so the question, the last one is, if we already have treatments, why are we wasting time and energy on this? There are a couple of answers. It could also mean ways of treating other diseases down the line. But also, I would imagine your quality of life could be improved a great deal, not taking this drug cocktail all the time.
Yeah, you have to take this drug cocktail every day for the rest of your life. Yeah. And part of the other issue for some individuals is if they forget to take it for a while and they start up the medications again, they may not be as effective. So because you give the virus a chance to come back, and in some ways you train the virus to become resistant in some ways to the medication. So it's very important not to miss doses. So you're right. It's a quality of life issue. It's a much more permanent and straightforward treatment if this works. And also cost, right? The amount of money that is spent on taking medication, and they're not inexpensive medications every day for the rest of your life, that too becomes an issue as well.
You people in science are always looking for a new way to put a microchip in me or change my DNA.
Yeah, well, you know, we try.
Thank you, Doc.
You're welcome, Bill.
Dr. Barry Dworkin, medical myth busting, also host of Sunday House Call, Sunday afternoons at 3 on News Talk 580 CFRA. Why? I think our deputy prime minister should just stop talking. In fact, the whole government should stop talking about the Emergencies Act. It's pretty clear already. It was not necessary, and it was purely political. Don't take it from me. Take it from them. Coming up next, The Morning Rush.
Tell me straight, Doc. What is it?
Medical myth busting with Dr. Barry Dworkin.
Good morning, Doc.
Morning, Bill.
You're on the phone today. A little technical problem?
Yeah, technical problem with a USB, so.
Oh, I know you now because you're a tech geek. That thing's going to be in 100 pieces within 20 minutes. You'll fix that right up.
Yeah.
Diagnosing it, writing a prescription for it. No, you'll get it done. I'm not even worried. Okay, here's our headline today. A one-time treatment for HIV could be on the horizon.
Yeah,
is this true?
Yes, it looks very intriguing. It's what they did. This is a research facility in Israel. One of the issues is being able to develop a means of attacking HIV or have an antibody that attacks it. And it tends to evade that in your body. It doesn't really, that's why it's so difficult to get rid of. You have medications now that will suppress the virus and prevent it from reproducing and reducing what we call the viral load. And we all know what viral load is now. It's just the number of viral particles in your body.
Sadly,
and
yeah.
And so it maintains it at a very low level so that you are not contagious anymore. And it's treated as a chronic disease as opposed to a terminal disease. And that's really important. But what in this case, they're saying, well, instead of trying to suppress the virus, why don't we train the immune system to produce antibodies that recognize the virus and attack it and get rid of it? And the way they have approached this, they use two different types of approaches. One was in the lab, so in vitro in a test tube, and the other was moved to an animal model. In this case, it was mice. And what they designed is two different types of viruses, the same viruses that we use in vaccines, adenoviruses, to bring in genetic material into the system, in this case into the mouse, one of which, the two viruses, one carries an editing piece of material, that is something that can take a chunk out of the DNA of the particular cell and replace it with the chunk that you need that gives the instructions to tell the cell to make antibodies against HIV. The editing thing is called CRISPR, and it's like taking if you're doing a word processor and just typing stuff out and you make an error and there's one letter that's wrong in that word, you go back, you take that letter out, or you've misspelled it, you take that letter out and you put another letter in and it changes the whole meaning of the word. Well, that's the same thing that this does with the DNA. It takes out a particular sequence or a letter in that sequence, puts in another letter, which it gets from the other virus that's carrying the material. So it's like you have two trucks. One truck is preparing things. The second truck has the material that's offloaded and put into the area that you've just changed. And they found that in all the animal models that they used, first it worked in vitro, So that was good. Then they moved to the animal model, and they genetically engineered the B cells, which are what produce antibodies. And in so doing, they found that they were successful in every animal model they used in order to produce the antibodies that would attack and destroy the HIV. So that's very encouraging. Now, whether this applies to people is another matter. And also, you still have to go through the safety assessments and make sure that, in this case, you are genetically engineering the DNA in a particular cell, unlike the vaccines that we have, which don't touch the DNA. And so in this case, you want to make sure that CRISPR, in this case, is not going to affect anything else in the body. So there's still pretty much a long way to go, but it's just very innovative and quite clever in terms of how they're approaching this particular problem.
Could it be used as a vaccine, or is it just a treatment?
I think it's a treatment. It's not necessarily a vaccine per se, although that is an intriguing question, right? Because if you train the B cells against HIV, it'll continue making these antibodies? Will it be available in the event you unfortunately contract the virus? So, great question. Not knowable right now. This is more of a proof of concept in an animal model. And
so the question, the last one is, if we already have treatments, why are we wasting time and energy on this? There are a couple of answers. It could also mean ways of treating other diseases down the line, but also, I would imagine your quality of life could be improved a great deal not taking this drug cocktail all the time.
Yeah, you have to take this drug cocktail every day for the rest of your life. Yeah. And part of the other issue for some individuals is if they forget to take it for a while and they start up the medications again, they may not be as effective. So, because you give the virus a chance to come back, and in some ways you train the virus to become resistant in some ways to the medication. So it's very important not to miss doses. So you're right, it's a quality of life issue. It's a much more permanent and straightforward treatment if this works. And also cost, right? The amount of money that is spent on taking medication, and they're not inexpensive medications every day for the rest of your life, that too becomes an issue as well.
You people in science are always looking for a new way to put a microchip in me or change my DNA.
Yeah, well, you know, we try.
Thank you, Doc.
You're welcome, Bill.
Dr. Barry Dworkin, medical myth busting, also host of Sunday House Call, Sunday afternoons at 3 on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Good morning, Ottawa. This is the Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Good Wednesday morning. How are you this morning? Wow. Someone should tell Christopher Freeland to just stop talking. Or maybe not, actually. I'm quite enjoying it. But if you're the government, they should tell her to stop. They should all stop talking. Wow. This inquiry into the Emergencies Act, I think they could wrap it up today. It's pretty clear already it was just political. I think the die has been cast. Don't really know what that means, but that's an expression people use. No, the die is now, you know, it's already set in, and it's, you can't erase it anymore. It's too late. And it is too late. You have the Conservatives now calling for one cabinet minister to resign. Well, when your public safety minister says, police told us we needed the Emergencies Act. And then police say, we didn't ask for that. No one asked for that. You're already in trouble. It seems like Christopher Freeland, the deputy prime minister, is now trying to bail them out from that position. But they put themselves in a worse position. Okay, before I let you hear from Christopher Freeland, I just want to remind you that during the trucker protest, we were told again and again that the Prime Minister can't instruct the RCMP, that the Premier can't instruct the OPP. You can't say, well, we had the Ipperwash inquiry in Ontario to prove that, right? You can't say, I want you to go in there and move them out right now. The mayor was talking about this with local police. I can't instruct them specifically what to do. I could tell them, I want them off the street. But how, where, when they do that is up to the police. You cannot have political interference directly with our police forces. Can't do it. We were told again and again and again how important that is. Then Chrystia Freeland sits down and says, well, just let her say it. Here's what she said.
But I do also want to remind everyone here that the economic harm in the moment, it was becoming more serious every single day.
Economic harm? But we're talking about a police act here. We're talking about the police being given extra power to deal with the situation based on just the economy. That is not a good enough answer. Let her try again here.
I was deeply, deeply concerned that these illegal blockades and this illegal occupation would provoke a whole new wave of protectionism and deeply erode our trading relationship with the United States.
Oh, yeah, that's why we have the Emergencies Act. Because we think it's possible that this could sometime in the future maybe turn the United States into a more protectionist. Really? That's why you brought in the Emergencies Act? So, in other words, it was just political. It had nothing to do with the police needed the extra power to deal with a public emergency. It had to do with politics and optics. She's pretty much just confessed it. Take the shovel from her. Stop digging, Chrystia. Stop it. What are you doing? This is not going well for them. So they did it because the police wanted it. That's not true. Well, we did it because, you know, there were political implications down the road. That's not good enough. What do you have left? What's next? What will they concoct today as their new excuse for bringing in and using the Emergencies Act? There clearly was never any need for it. 7:15, the morning rush.
You're listening to the Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA. That's my man.
So, remember in the height of the pandemic, maybe even in the as it was starting to quiet down, we're in a quieter phase right now of the pandemic, people were saying, if Doug Ford would just bring in sick pay, this problem would be solved. It's a sick pay problem, sick pay problem. My argument at the time was, actually, I think the problem is, if you have bad COVID, you're not going to work. I don't care if missing a pay or not. You can't get out of bed. If you have mild COVID, you shouldn't be going to work. But most people who were spreading it around probably didn't even know they had COVID, right? Asymptomatic COVID. And then I argued that the federal government has sick pay and people were still getting COVID at federal government agencies. Why if sick pay solves the problem, why have they sent people home to work from home? You got sick pay, just don't come in if you say. It was never going to be the answer, right? Never going to be the answer. Lack of sick day pay is forcing people to come to work, and that is making the pandemic worse. So now, here we are. We have the government offering airport screeners a $200 a week bonus if they don't take sick days. No. I know you think I'm crazy. You actually couldn't make this up. It is that stupid, contradictory, and hypocritical. 1 minute we're piling on Doug Ford because he needs to bring in more sick pay. Now the federal government is offering airport screeners $200 a week if they come to work with COVID. That's what it boils down to. Don't argue with me on this one. Somebody's yelling at the radio in the car. Well, it doesn't mean come in with COVID. They just mean, you know, don't take time off with a little cold. No. They are paying people $200 a week extra if they don't take time off this summer, including sick days. So you wake up, you got the sniffles. Yeah, well, maybe you'll test yourself. No, I'm not positive yet. And off you go to work because there's an incentive to come to work sick. This pandemic has exposed a certain level of madness, hasn't it? Madness among the anti-vaxxers and the anti-maskers who take it to the extreme. Madness among government officials who give you mixed messages. I mean, last week it was the masks are coming off. I agree with that. But I think you should still wear it anyway. What? Okay. Whatever. It's a lot of mixed messaging has come to play. But this is such a great example of it. The reason COVID spreads in the workplace is because people can't get paid to take time off. Now we're going to pay you to come to work with COVID. There's a bonus in it. There's encouragement now to suck it up. Work through it. Spread it to your fellow workers. Am I wrong here in some way? I feel like I've gone through the looking glass here. Either I'm mad, or I'm either mad or the only sane person left on the planet. It has to be. Matt, help me out here. Am I losing my mind?
The only way this works is if they're doing really hardcore screening for COVID. But then it's just luck, right? That's not, hey, I canceled my vacation days and I came in. It's just luck that you didn't get sick. Because, yeah, you're encouraging people to hide their symptoms for extra money. That's what you're doing.
I'm just thinking about my wife for 3 days, how sick she was, how much she was coughing and sneezing before she finally tested positive. And if she'd been paid extra money to go to work, there'd be an incentive to go there. There's also a $500 a month bonus as well. You don't take sick days, loo days, or vacation. Work through your vacation, you get paid more.
Jeez.
7:29, it's the morning rush. I don't understand.
You're listening to The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Well, it wasn't quite as exciting at the LRT inquiry yesterday. You know, it's okay. We're keeping an eye on it heading into Wednesday, so day three today. Yesterday, we learned that Stage 1's price tag of $2.1 billion didn't include inflation. Really, you don't build inflation into a project that takes years to complete? That's a little hard to believe. More than $400 million inflation. That seems pretty big to me. $400 million out of $2.1 billion? Based on how low inflation used to be? I mean, yeah, it probably goes up that much every 5 minutes today, but... And $177 million in other costs. The former city treasurer, Miriam Similac, spoke about that issue yesterday.
We basically trusted the private sector to act reasonably and produce a document or a bid that reflected what they thought the costs were going to be.
I like how blamed it on the private sector, huh? We trusted the private sector to do that. Why? Seriously, why? I don't trust anybody. Public sector, private sector. What's the old line? Trust but verify. Do you trust? You hire someone to do renovations on your home. You just give them a blank check? Or do you keep an eye on what they're doing? You know, we found some mold behind that wall, so we're going to have to tear it all down, and that's going to cost extra. Show me the mold. Isn't that what you do? Show me the mold. Show me the cost of materials. How much manpower are you putting into it? How many hours? Well, I mean, don't you do that? Especially when that's your whole job, right? You're the city treasurer. There were a few other questions she was hammered with yesterday.
Were there any discussions about whether the budget or the cap introduced a risk or increased a risk that that the private sector might overpromise in its bids in order to make it under the cap or meet the budget?
No.
Okay.
That was the concern, apparently, though, that their budget was so low that companies wouldn't be able to meet it.
Again, if you're more than 20 years old, you face these kinds of things in some way in your life. And for sure, by the time you're 40, right, where you get three bids on that roofing job you want to do. And you're always a little suspicious of the lowest bid, right? Especially if it's a lot lower. Okay, your roof, it's going to cost $30,000. Then someone else comes in at $32,000, and someone else comes in at $28,000. Someone else says, I can do it for $10,000. Seriously? Can you okay. Right? Wouldn't you throw that one out? That's out of whack. Or you'd do your diligence. You'd make a couple of calls. Hey, Matt, you told me that this roofing company did your roof for how much? How much was it? Yeah, it was about $7,000. Okay, your house is a little smaller than mine. Is it okay? It's fantastic.
It looks great. Right, but you need some kind of reassurance there.
But you're automatically suspicious of the lowest price.
Yep.
And the highest one you're throwing out, but in fact, the highest bid could be the more realistic one. And everybody who's done a renovation knows this. Everyone put in a new floor, a new bathroom, kitchen cabinets. Everybody knows this. But government never seems to know it. How many times have you heard over the years, government always seems surprised that things are taking longer than they estimated? And they never think to put that in the estimate. I never believe contractors when they tell me. It's a one-week job. So I'll say to my wife, so 3 weeks. Cost $1,000. Let's budget for two. You just do that, right? I mean, doesn't the city take that into account before you run around telling everyone it's going to be on time and on budget? Be suspicious. Because even if they are doing a great job and you're on time and on budget, you're coming out of the Tim Hortons or McDonald's one day in downtown Ottawa and, whoa, where'd the road go? Remember that?
That was a wild day in this city.
The giant sinkhole? Jeez, I thought they were going to swallow up the station that day. I don't just mean the LRT station. I mean our TV station. That was going to be swallowed up. 7:45, The Morning Rush.
Trending today with Matt Harris.
I think we should put the F in the official. Trending today with Matt F. Harris.
It's too pompous.
You
it's
can't live
too
up
pompous.
That.
It's too pretentious, and it's only there because somebody stole the Matt Harris Twitter handle. Someone got it first. They barely tweeted.
So you put your F in.
So I had to put the F in.
You thought, what the F? And you decided to just go ahead and do it.
That's all it is. I really wish you were working in the studio today, because if you were, I would be running across the street and buying a bag of tortillas. Have you seen this?
I have not seen this.
The tortilla challenge is taking over social media, mostly on TikTok. But I guess, you know, if it's on TikTok now, it'll be on Instagram next week, because it usually just takes a while to migrate over. Here's the idea. You take a mouthful of water and you're with someone else in the room. You can do it with multiple people. You need at least two. You can do a three, four, whatever, but at least two people. You stand face to face with them, both with a mouthful of water. And then you take turns slapping each other with a tortilla, and whoever spits the water out first loses. That's all it is. It's stupid. And a lot of people have been mixing in rock, paper, scissors. If you lose on rock, paper, scissors, you take the first hit. And the idea is to see who can keep the water in their mouth the longest. I grabbed a clip of this. It's exactly what you would expect.
You'd have to hit someone pretty hard to knock water out of their mouth.
Well, I think it's more the reaction of being hit, right? Some people just flinch really hard and the water comes out. Like this guy here. Well, you'll hear. Hey, just play it first.
Round two. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
It sounded like it was pretty hard. And it sounds
really hard. I'm watching a different version of it.
Yeah.
One guy just really, it's all rolled up and he lays into the other guy's face. But you know what's happening is that people are spitting when they get hit onto the other person. There's a little bit more revenge spitting going on.
You don't think that's actually just like, oh, you got me.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah, you're probably
on. Spit on the guy. I have a couple of concerns about this.
Okay.
Can you guess what they are?
Well, your kids are going to start doing this? Are you worried about that? No?
Yeah, well, no, I'm not. But you know me better than this. And it's not about the cost of food, although that's a semi-concern.
Is it germs?
You just wasted a bag of tortillas from Wonder Tortillas on this? What's wrong with you kids? No, there are two things I watched in this video that really freaked me out.
Okay, you're getting spit on by somebody.
That's the second one.
Okay, and the first one is...
First one is they shared the cup of water.
Oh, yeah, so there's even that issue now.
Ugh, I don't drink out of a cup someone else has had to drink out of.
Not even...
Is that in your video, too? Is that common?
No. So the video I had, they had two separate bottles of water.
Yeah. In the middle of a pandemic, is this a good idea to be spitting water on each other? I don't know. Maybe it doesn't spread it at all. I don't know.
That's the thing. I just think this is disgusting.
Wow, now I'm seeing like 100 videos are popping up. That's all I'm going to get. People wind up and do it really hard.
Oh, there are some intense ones. But so if you're scrolling through your phone today and you see a bunch of tortillas, don't say we didn't warn you about why it's happening. It's a
and
total.
If your kids ask you to buy tortillas, ask questions.
Yeah, it's not like your kid didn't suddenly like fajitas.
$7.59.
They're delicious.
Good morning, Ottawa. This is the Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA.
So is it the end of an era? I guess the federal government did reserve the right yesterday to tell people they may need to be vaccinated in the future in order to work for the federal government. But for now, you're welcome to come back to work in your own basement if you were unvaccinated. So that makes total scientific and medical sense, doesn't it? Now, there are a lot of federal workers, and I suspect what's really going on here is the airport screening problem. Some of those issues where there are staff shortages, so I guess we better get rid of the vaccine mandates. So it's politics. You know what's happened is they were cashing in on having the conservatives argue against vaccine mandates because it's really easy to go, well, they're anti-science. So it was a great political win for the liberals, and they just kept collecting the points from it. But now people were saying this airport stuff is crazy and it was becoming a political loss. So they did the political math and decided, okay, let's forget about vaccine mandates for now. And by the way, we'll pay you extra if you work when you're sick, which is counter to everything they've been telling us in the past about how if only workers had sick pay and would stay home when they work, we wouldn't spread this virus as much. Now they're paying airport screeners bonuses to work while sick. I don't know. You tell me what's going on in their minds. I am completely lost. Alex Lucifera is a partner at Samfiru Tumarkin LLP, and they specialize in labor law. He's on the line right now. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
So if I'm a federal government worker and I've been home all these months, I can come back to work. Can I collect back pay if they told me I had to stay home?
Well, if you are a federal government employee, so if you're part of the federal public service bill, that is going to be up to your union. So all of those employees, again, that actually work for the federal government are unionized employees, and it is going to be their unions that decides whether they want to file a grievance in that respect or not. I suspect the majority of those unions will not file a grievance for back pay because ultimately the unions agreed with these vaccine mandates and these vaccine policies. It is, however, different for federally regulated employees. There's a distinction there that needs to be made. So these are private sector employees, Bill, that work for either banks or telecommunications companies. In those cases, and outside of the transportation industry, so we're not talking about airline employees or ground transportation employees, but specifically, let's say telecommunications companies, Bell, Rogers, you name it, and banks. Those employees, Bill, actually, there was no federal government mandate in place. Despite the misconception, there were no laws or regulations that required those employees to be vaccinated in order to work. And so in those cases, the answer to your question is yes, you can potentially pursue back pay and also potentially severance, Bill, if you have been laid off or put on unpaid leave, as they've been calling it, as a result of these vaccination policies.
Right, and this is going to spread now. It won't just be government workers. Other workers who have had a company that didn't want people around if they weren't vaccinated are going to they're going to be caught up in this, or if they're not already, caught up in the same labor shortage as everybody else. So you want your workers to come back, I would imagine. So now you've got a disgruntled employee who missed a lot of paychecks coming back to work for you. They too might say, okay, so I need to get paid for this.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, some employees, a effectively agreed to the unpaid leave. So they were happy with accepting the unpaid leave and so kind of willingly accepted it. I think in those cases, Bill, it might be more difficult to request that back pay because you've effectively accepted the status quo by agreeing to the unpaid leave, agreeing to not be paid for that period of time.
However, what about this then? Can I demand my old job back?
Absolutely, as an employee, have the right to return back to work on the same exact terms of employment that you left. So that includes your job. It should include your schedule. It should include all other benefits of your compensation. Absolutely. If your employer...
So your boss let you go because you weren't vaccinated. Now they replace you with someone else. They probably can't have you back. The position is gone. So does that leave you in a position then of demanding severance?
It's a problem for the employer because if you cannot return the employee back to those same terms of employment, it's what we call a constructive dismissal. And a constructive dismissal is effectively a termination. That employee is going to be owed severance.
Then if you do come back and there's a new wave and the vaccines change, suddenly they become more effective again and they want to bring in vaccine mandates, you could be let go all over again.
That's right. And that is the risk with these unpaid leaves of absence as a result of these vaccination policies. And again, we're talking about a particular sector here. So we're talking about federally regulated employees, and this can apply to provincially regulated employees, which actually, Bill, are the vast majority of employees out there. If you accept a temporary layoff or if you accept an unpaid leave of absence one time, you run the risk of having accepted that as a permanent term of your employment moving forward. So if your employer tries to do it a second time, let's say in the fall of this year, you will have potentially less protection in a situation like that, which is why from the very beginning, Bill, and as you very well know, we've been cautioning employees if you're being put on unpaid leave, or if you're being put on temporary layoff, really regardless of the reason, make sure you get some legal advice. Make sure what you're doing, what your employer is doing is legal. And if what they're doing is not legal, then you have the right to stand up for yourself and either claim a severance package or claim that they return you back to work immediately.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
Alex Lucifero, partner at Zamfiru Tamarkin, LLP. The Morning Rush. Good morning. I'm Bill Carroll.
News Talk 580 CFRA's $1,000 Minute. Brought to you by Alpine Credits. Homeowners get approved.
We have Luke on the line. He was the 15th person to text us. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Orleans.
All right.
Yes.
Matt has a bit of a soft spot for people who live in Orleans with him. So if he'd known you were from Orleans, he would have made the questions easier.
100%. Yeah. Those are my people out there.
Well, I didn't listen much this morning, but, you know, a shot at some money is better than nothing, I guess.
Oh, this is going to be fun, Luke. Now you got me excited. Here are the rules.
10 questions a minute, $10 per correct answer. All 10 gives you $1,000. Have to take your first answer. You can say pass. We'll go back if there's time. You got it?
I got it.
Yeah, you better have paid special attention to the say pass part. That's my instinct here. All right, here we go. Which federal official raked up nearly $100,000 catering bill on a trip to the Middle East?
Governor General.
On which date will vaccine mandates for planes and trains no longer be necessary?
Pass.
Which Canadian city is considering a bid for the 2030 Olympics?
Montreal.
Which Scandinavian country can you now walk to from Canada? Did you answer there? I couldn't hear.
Did you hang up?
No, not still there.
I can't hear him. Can you hear him?
He passed.
Yeah, Denmark.
Denmark.
Yeah. How are you guys? Okay.
What's the forecasted overnight low tonight?
19.
Which company suspended an engineer for saying its chatbot has become self-aware?
Google.
Who testified yesterday in the LRT inquiry?
Pass.
Which online challenge has people slapping each other across the face with food?
A tortilla.
Who owns the Marilyn Monroe dress that Kim Kardashian wore at the Met Gala red carpet?
Pass.
Okay, I gave you extra time there because we had that phone glitch.
Phone problems. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird feedback.
Yeah, and we lost you and we could just hear a sound. It was all
dropped out. But okay, how'd you do?
Okay, well, you didn't get them all, but you did okay. Which federal official raked up a nearly $100,000 catering bill on a trip to the Middle East? You said the Governor General. On which date will vaccine mandates for planes and trains no longer be necessary? You passed on that one. June 20th. Which Canadian city is considering a bid for the 2030 Olympics? You said Montreal. Vancouver. Which Scandinavian country can you now walk to from Canada? You said Denmark. What's forecasted overnight low tonight? You said 19. Which company has suspended an engineer for saying his chatbot is becoming self-aware? You said Google. Who testified yesterday?
Why didn't the chatbot make its own assertion that it's self-aware?
That's right, because no one's asking it.
And why hasn't it responded and held a press conference after this story leaked out? Huh? Not that self-aware. About as self-aware as Chrystia Freeland. We brought in the Emergencies Act because, you know, it would look bad politically. Stop talking.
Who testified yesterday in the LRT inquiry? You passed on that one. We're looking for the former city treasurer. And which food challenge has people slapping each other across the face on the internet? You said the tortilla challenge, which is $50.
Well, we also asked who owns the Marilyn Monroe dress, Kim Kardashian.
Oh, yeah, and he passed on that one.
The Met Gala.
Which
the
is Ripley's.
Is Ripley's, believe it or not.
Thanks
what was
very
the
much,
final?
Guys.
$50. Not bad.
I'm actually impressed, Luke, when you said you didn't get a chance to listen much this morning, that you got a passing grade. Luke?
I think he hung up.
Your phone has failed, however. It's the Morning Rush. I'm not even saying my name after that debacle.
Now, The Inbox on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Bill, re-sick days. Totally agree with you, but consider those who use sick days as an entitlement. Take them all every year. See them asking them not to just use them because they are available. Yeah, the way they've structured it is if you have perfect attendance over a period of time, you get the bonus. That rewards people for coming in sick with COVID. I can't believe the whole country is in up in arms about that story. I can't. Bill, you can acknowledge that someone looks sexy but not turned on by them. But then again, I'm from Quebec. This is about a hockey player who called his sister's picture on Instagram sexy. I went to the Merriam-Webster.
Okay.
My good friends. Definition of sexy. Sexually suggestive or stimulating, erotic.
Oh.
By definition, if your sister is sexually stimulating for you, like you can't judge whether someone is sexually stimulating for anyone but you, right? Will we acknowledge that? What you find sexually stimulating, what I find sexually stimulating can be very different. Hell, I've had ex-partners. I look at a picture of them 10 years later and go, what did I see in her? I know they say that about me. They were sexually stimulating to me at the time, but now I don't see it. It's a very mysterious thing. If you're seeing that in your sister, keep it to yourself. You've got a problem. It's not an appropriate word to use to describe your sister. Sorry. Not the same as, hey, that new car is sexy. That's not the same thing. Don't try to make it that. So no, I can't acknowledge that someone looks sexy and not be turned on by them. Sexy means you're turning me on. At least if you believe Merriam-Webster. Bill and Matt are uptight prudes. Nope, just don't want to sleep with my sisters. Lady Gaga wore the meat dress at the 2010 MTV Video Music Awards. So it wasn't the
okay, not the Met Gala.
I'm glad I don't know that for sure. I'm kind of proud of that. But I love Marilyn Monroe and the Kardashians are a guilty pleasure. It's fashion. It's just a dress. Holsky. They're talking to you, Holsky. Lorraine from Canada.
I appreciated that Holsky rant. I liked it.
I liked it too. And I am having a little trouble with the fashion historians. This magical cloth of some... But okay, whatever. Bill, are you surprised that Miriam Similac blindly trusted the private sector on the LRT? She's the same one who wired $100,000 to fraudsters a couple of years ago. Bill, was this the city treasurer, the one who got duped in a scam a few years back? Yeah, I think it is. I'm afraid one day I'm just going to click on the wrong thing.
I got one yesterday that I was sure was real. It was about my Netflix. I'm like, I don't even think...
Your Netflix account?
Yeah.
I got that too yesterday.
And it made me think for a second. It looked
legit.
I know,
it does make you pause. They could be pretty clever. But if you're the city treasurer, and you have the city legal department.
Oh, I understand.
And you have an IT department. Ask a couple of questions before you write the check. I'm just saying. Why is the $100,000 in food for the governor general's entourage not an issue? Who says it's not an issue? Maybe you tuned in late. We talked about it a lot early this morning. I did a TV commentary on it. I just have run out of things to say. It's outrageous. I can't think of a single way to justify it. But you know what's almost as bad? There's people in the prime minister's office buying a $70 meal on a flight from Montreal to Ottawa. It's a half an hour. You know what I was going to say to Annette on radio, on TV this morning?
What's that?
I had the line in my head. I'm like, do what I do when I travel. Carry a protein bar for those moments where I can't take it anymore. But she said to me, Bill, can't they just carry a protein bar? I'm like, I got to come up with something else to say. Matt, if you can skate, especially if you're a hockey player, you can ski.
I can skate. Okay, that makes me feel better.
And vice versa. And I'm terrible at both. So, Chris, totally adds up.
Nailed it.